going on, ladies and gentlemen. Today on the Roundtable Sports Podcast, by the way, I'm John Newman. If you haven't heard the podcast before, subscribe button is down below. Going to be breaking down the tail of the tape for UFC 242 coming Saturday here in the United States. Well, Saturday everywhere, but a little bit earlier than most UFC cards. Nonetheless, we've got some good fights going on, and we are based out of Kansas City, Missouri, so I had a little bit of a story to tell before we start this thing off. So, the fights are going on in the Emirates, but one of Kansas City's own MMA fighters, well, Texas-born, but fights out of Kansas City, Zach Cummings will be taking on Omari Akhmedov in a middleweight clash. So that'll be on the Fight Pass prelims for those of you who subscribe to the UFC Fight Pass. Zach Cummings in his career won back-to-back fights four separate times in the UFC. He's going for three in a row on Saturday against Omari Akhmedov. And he went to Missouri State, where I did not finish school at, but still enrolled in community college and all of that happy stuff. Helped build the MMA culture here. Really, I mean, he's probably one of the biggest names in MMA as far as Kansas City, Missouri, and I'm sure you know he's got training partners from all around here. I know personally two people that train out of the Impact Gym, Elijah and Brandon. Shout out to them. Went to school with them, and I'm not sure exactly, you know, if they're still fighting or whatnot, but I know they were on that course, you know, right after high school. They got into the gym and all of that, and they always sang high praises of Glory MMA. Started his career 10-0 with knockouts and submissions, checkering his record, which is, you know, good. He's a balanced fighter. He lost in his only fight in Strikeforce to the All-American Badass Tim Kennedy. And he lost by submission, one of the only, I think, two times he's been finished. He had a one-fight stint in Bellator where he earned a submission victory via Darce choke, a pretty tough choke to pull off anywhere, but especially in an MMA fight. Then he moved on to the UFC, where, you know, his only losses come to notable names. Gunnar Nelson, a veteran of the sport, and then Santiago Ponzinibbio, who is, you know, incredible. I think he's top 10, or he's definitely one of the ranked guys in the middleweight division. And then he had his last loss was a split decision loss to Michael Prazeres. So the tally on his career, he's 23-6, I believe. He's never been KO'd, only submitted twice, Tim and Gunner, like I just said. 8-3 overall in the UFC, and he's going up against a similarly ranked opponent in Omari Akhmedov, who has, you know, taken a lot of time off before returning earlier this year when he beat Tim Boach in Wichita, ironically enough, in Wichita, Kansas, you know, about pretty close to here in Kansas City where I'm at. Unfortunately, didn't get to go to that. I was at the one at the Sprint Center with Thug Rose and Mighty Mouse, which was incredible. Probably, you know, one of the best sporting events I've been to. And I'd like to, you know, go to more UFC events in the future, opposed to just watching them at home or going to the bar to watch them. Akhmedov is of Dagestani Russian descent, so the crowd's definitely going to be behind him in the Emirates, you know. And he trained with the best in the world from all over. You know, he's you know, trained at Khabib's camp, at Eagle MMA, at Jackson Wink, at American Top Team, where I think he currently resides at American Top Team. And overall, it's going to be the best fight to watch on the Fight Pass prelims, definitely, in my opinion. It'll be the second fight of the entire card. And I'm sure the crowd in the Emirates is going to be large because I think this is Abu Dhabi's very, very first UFC event. And then I didn't really, you know a whole lot about the prelims. We had Joanne Calderwood, and Amanda Lee fighting in the headline of the prelims. And really don't think I've seen very much out of either of them. Typically, you know, I do know a little bit more about the prelim fights, but they wanted a lot of home hitters out there for the Abu Dhabi fight. I got the tail of the tape right here. So starting off the night with the main card will be Marabek Taisumov. Marabek Taisumov versus Carlos Diego Ferreira. Taisumov is fighting in his first pay-per-view. He unfortunately missed weight in his last fight, and actually same with Carlos Diego Ferreira. So some bigger lightweights. And Carlos Diego Ferreira, his signature wins, Olivier Aubin Mercier, which was some time ago now. And then he, in his most recent fight, he beat Ruslam Khabilov. So that's, you know, two solid names on his record. And I know Olivier Aubin Mercier is kind of, you know, he's trending downward in the sport as far as marketability and three straight losses. I'm not even sure if he's still under contract. He probably is, but maybe with another promotion. And then, like I said, for Marabek, it's his first pay-per-view. And he beat Desmond Green. Both of these fighters missed weight, and they won their fights. He beat Desmond Green in his last fight. He's 27-5 overall as a pro. Ferrara's 15-2. It'll be interesting, you know, kind of coming out party for whoever wins that fight. Definitely be able to move up. There's tons of lightweight fights on this card. I think everything in the main card except for this next fight I'm going to talk about, Curtis Blaydes and Shamil Abdurakhimov. Hang on, let me say that one more time. Shamil Abdurakhimov, who is 20-4. You know, he's a well-traveled mixed martial artist. He has recently beaten Andrei Arlovsky and then Tybura. And in his most recent fight, it was a decision victory against Tybura, I believe. And Curtis Blaydes, kind of a more recognizable name in the MMA community as far as heavyweights go. He's 11-2 with one no contest. He's huge. He's 6'4", so he's quite a bit bigger. Shamil, he kind of fought, you know, a lot of guys in other divisions that aren't necessarily stacked like the UFC is. Said divisions, promotions. Blaydes, only two losses, like I said, 11-2, came to Francis Ngannou, and Ngannou's like probably the most well-conditioned heavyweight. You know, he really is well-conditioned and got heavy hands. Same with Blaydes, though. He beat big pretty Justin Willis in his latest fight, kind of knocked him out of the UFC's radar, and I'm not exactly sure what that's all about. But, you know, I follow Big Pretty MMA on Instagram. He's always, you know, calling people out and everything. And then he beats, looks like, Alistair Overeem and Alexei Olenek in his career as well. So Curtis Blaydes has some signature victories already in his past, and trying to continue his climb through the ladder that is the UFC ranking system. In the next fight, we have Islam Makhachev taking on Davy Ramos. And Islam is Khabib's homie, if you will. You know, he's one of Khabib's what Khabib calls his brother. You know, they've been wrestling together, I'm sure, for a long time, and then, you know, training martial arts in general. I said wrestling, training martial arts in general. He has, you know, some of the funniest call-outs in the UFC. You know, called out Floyd Mayweather, called out Brock Lesnar as a lightweight, and all of that. You know, part of his game is just like Khabib's. It's the top pressure, but I think he's actually, you know, maybe a little bit more well-rounded in the stand-up game. And that's, you know, they've been training together, and that'll help Khabib take on a good striker like Dustin Poirier, who he draws in the main event. So without further ado, let me break down Davy Ramos, who, you know, has won 10 out of 12 fights in his career against largely unproven opponents, in my opinion. You know, a lot of those names out there weren't very recognizable, but he's won his last four fights. So Islam Makhachev will be, in my opinion, the favorite to win that fight, and obviously probably going to be in the crowd's opinion as well in the Emirates. And it's going to be a good night because of these last two fights, and I'm really excited about, you know, getting to see Zach Cummings fight Omari Akhmedov, is that his name? Yeah. I can open that up here and go back over that. But so Edson Barboza taking on Paul Felder, that's the co-main event of the evening. Edson 20-7, kind of been on a little bit of a slide, and Paul Felder had a lot of time off before returning earlier this year whenever he took on I forget who it was in his last fight. It was a victory. But what Paul Felder brings to the table is a lot of those unique striking angles. The Irish American striker kind of you know, more calm demeanor, Conor McGregor style of fighting. You know, he's really good with the timing and everything. He's 4-1 in his last five. You know, the nickname the Irish Dragon, and all those angles of the spinning back fists, the spinning kicks, the wheel kicks, all of the stuff that he does is just incredible. It's interesting, amazing to watch. Going to be interesting. He's got 8 performance bonuses, I believe, in his career. No, that was Edson with 8 performance bonuses. Paul has 4 of those in his career. And then, of course, the main event of the evening, where Khabib the Eagle Nurmagomedov makes his return against, you know, a very, very tough competitor, the best guy that he has fought yet in Dustin Poirier. Who Poirier, you know, he's coming off of a victory against a smaller opponent in Max Holloway. He really, you know, he won that fight pretty handedly. But Khabib, you know, the relentless pressure, the level changing, all of the stuff that he's shown in his career, it's meeting the stand-up game of a fighter that is very well-rounded. So, you know, it's a hard fight to predict, a hard fight to call what you think is going to happen before the fight. Although I think, you know, a lot of people who have been in the MMA community for a long time really see this as another chance for Khabib to expand his legacy. And it for both fighters, it really is. Dustin Poirier likened it to Rocky taking on the Russian in whatever, I forget his name, Ivan Drago. Yeah, Rocky taking on Ivan Drago. And you know, I don't really disagree with that, as he's going to be, you know, the away team pretty much for this bout. And Poirier, you know, kind of a bad boy coming out of Louisiana, you know, Cajun last name, and a real tough competitor. He's bruising, punishing with his strikes, and overall, I think, you know, he's got more than a puncher's chance, but I would not call him the favorite at all. I think Khabib is going to take this one, you know, probably 3-2 if it goes to decision. And, you know, a lot of Khabib fights do go to decision. It's probably going to be 3-2, I think, or maybe 4-1 with the relentless pressure, the level switching, the incredible strength. You know, he wrestles with bears. Khabib wrestling with bears, that's... As a kid too, as a little kid, that's just amazing to see. He's been doing this for a long time, and he's still young in the game. I mean, not in the game. I mean, he's young in general in terms of, you know, he's got a lot accomplished, and he's got a lot more he can accomplish if he so chooses to do that. He's definitely given a lot of hope and everything back to people who are not necessarily in the best political climate. And I think it's important that sports figures and sporting heroes really do hold themselves to the high standard that Khabib holds himself to. It's kind of ridiculous to see guys like Conor McGregor just piss away, you know, their fame with the shitty attitude towards, you know, even people in the home country in Ireland where he punched that old man. You know, Dana White already said this about BJ Penn earlier this week. He's never going to fight in the UFC again for getting in that street fight that he got into and got embarrassed, really. Got knocked flat on his ass, and you know, he shot right back up, and he probably tried to do some stupid shit to this guy, and there was a crowd of people who, I don't want to dig into the police reports or anything like that, because I, you know, he's a very respectful martial artist up until this point, and it's, you know, he's up on the wall of the local Hawaiian restaurant and everything. So, like, it shows you, you know, that's how much impact he had to, like, the Islanders and everybody who supported BJ in his times where he was taking on Frankie back in the day. And all of those guys, you know, Poirier, on his rap sheet, he's got, you know, beat Gaethje. He beat Eddie Alvarez twice. And then, actually, no, he beat him twice, but the first time it was a no contest because of illegal knees to a downed opponent. Of course, always been illegal, but it's also, you know, a bang-bang thing. It's kind of like in football with the wide receiver trapping the ball, but it's with those knees to the head and inside of that cage fight. And... as always, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen when the cage door closes. And I think with Khabib taking on somebody not named Conor McGregor and not named Tony Ferguson, there's going to be two groups of fans outside of Khabib's and Poirier's watching this fight like hawks, because they've got to, you know, they've got to figure out what they're going to do to get to Khabib and get the belt. And I think, you know, Tony, what he's done so far has worked for him, and he's been, you know, kind of outspoken. He's, you know, willing to fight anybody, but he really feels he deserves the title shot, and I do too. I think it's, you know, his fight, whoever wins this fight, you know, their next title defense should be against Tony Ferguson. Conor McGregor should have to go back and climb a ladder to get another title shot, in my opinion. You know, I get it. You know, first double champ in UFC history. But since then, you know, we've seen a couple more kind of proving that it's not really as special as you think, Connor. That you were the first to do that. No one can take that away from you. You were the first Irish MMA champion, undisputed UFC lightweight and featherweight champion. But, you know, you were outclassed by Khabib. And since then, you know, if you want to drop back down to featherweight and fight Holloway, go ahead and do that instead. But I don't think you get the rematch with Khabib just like that. And I'm not trying to throw so much shade as to, you know, draw hate towards any of these guys or anything like that. I just, you know, I see the sport as something that needs to be, you know, shown in a positive light because of how much damage the media in this country did to the growth of this sport by saying that how dangerous it is. We look at boxing and there's been several deaths this year. With mixed martial arts, there's been a dozen in the history of the sport in the 25 years that it's happened. Nobody's died inside of the UFC cage. And that's not to say that, you know, there's no CTE or head trauma issues. Of course there is. That's the nature of the business. But to further my point on the media, you know, they brought in, you know, Lou DiBella to debate Joe Rogan on ESPN back in the day, and look who's on ESPN now. Look who's drawn the numbers for ESPN's, you know, fighting now. I just watched the Loma fight. I watched the Vasily Lomachenko fight. You know, it was a good broadcast and everything. It was worth paying for the ESPN Plus, but I'd like to know why my account no longer has ESPN Plus, because I got charged for that. And that, we ask ESPN. I think that this sport is just going to continue to grow. People were like Ronda Rousey, pioneer. Now we look at Khabib, all the guys that he's brought in and around this sport that are, you know, climbing the ladder themselves. Those Dagestanis, they are just incredible, incredible fighters. They really are. You know, once they've gotten here, they've proven that they are, you know, pulverizing opponents. You know, they impose their will like a good, you know, running back would in football, impose their will on a defense and just kind of just keep you guessing about, or like not keep you guessing, because the game plan's quite clear. You know, get in and get them down and put the pressure on, kind of like, you know, say like John Riggins in football or something like that. I didn't really have that much more. Thursday night football is coming on here pretty soon. Chicago Bears taking on the Green Bay Packers, and football season's about to be underway. The peak season of sports here in America, as NBA season's about to start up again, and we're going to get to see guys with their new teams in basketball. We're going to get to see, you know, a lot of good football this year in the NFL and in college. I'm incredibly appreciative of every follow, all of the subscribers, all of the support that I get. I know I'm not professional in really anything that I do, but I just try to, you know, break it down in a way that I'll be able to remember better if I do it on camera in front of, you know, a potential audience, because I, you know, as I'm live right now, I'm not sure how many people. I'm not going to look for that. I don't even have my glasses on. I can't even see that far. But nonetheless, you know, thank you for tuning in to Roundtable Sports. Thank you guys for, you know, liking some of the posts and sharing, you know, somehow. You know, posts that get one retweet, they get 2,000 impressions. Some posts get 5 retweets and they get, you know, 300 impressions or 350 impressions or something like that. You know, it's just like, I feel the love. I feel the love whenever I start to make, you know, the victory posters. I definitely did for the Diaz fight. Got, you know, tons of people to, you know, at least click on my profile, You don't have to follow. I really don't care. That's not what I'm in it for. Like I said, I feel like I'll remember it better if I have this stuff on camera, so I can be like, you know, with UFC, they're always, you know, the top of the lines, top of the food chains changing with the amount of weight divisions. Now we've kind of got some steadying of all of that with, you know, Robert Whittaker being the middleweight champ. Welterweight division taken by Usman after my guy Tyron Woodley, probably, you know, the most well-known, definitely the most well-known Missourian in martial arts. And, you know, as I say that, you know, Zach Cummings is a Texan, but, you know, he's here in Missouri. He's here in Missouri. I've got Missouri on my glass here. Got it for free on my birthday. From the gas station attendant, and I was like, whoa, that's dope. But yeah, that's all that I've got for the UFC in Abu Dhabi. I'm excited to see this. I've got probably, let's see the weather real quick. Event that I could go to, involving my family because they do some racing, but I don't know. I think I want to stay and watch the UFC because, you know, that's my favorite sport to watch. You know, there'll be college football on TV too, but it's as real as it gets. You know, that's been a motto of the UFC, as real as it gets. You know, it is. And when it comes down to it, I haven't seen Khabib fight in since the Conor fight, and honestly, you know, I kind of thought that McGregor was gonna win that fight because of some hype that got pushed by other people. Brian Callen and Brendan Schaub, they were going on and on about it. Callen was like, no way. Schaub was like, okay, I think he beat him before the fight. No, Khabib beat him before the fight. McGregor was, you know, I don't know, you know, there's always going to be those Irish lads that's just going to try to pick us apart and say that, you know, he had a injury going into the fight, you know, but, no, he was flat out beaten in every way that you could, and then tappy tap. There is, I think, a Cage Warriors on tomorrow night, Friday night, kind of a slow sports night, except for, you know, high school football here in America. Quite the deal. Definitely quite the deal. Yeah, as far as cheap entertainment goes, we've got dirt track racing. That's the family one. And then, you know, call it whatever you want, but, you know, football is family here, too, as well. And the same way that Khabib calls, you know, his training partners his brothers, the way that I called, you know, a lot of my teammates that I'm still friends with today, we call each other brother. And, you know, it's because the support that we give one another, and that's what people need to realize about martial arts as well. These guys, you know, they do it. I know it's an individual sport on the surface, but it takes so much teamwork and training to get to where you can even sign a UFC contract and compete, let alone, you know, fight several times over and over again. And Khabib being 27-0, gosh, there really has not been a fighter to do what Khabib has done. I don't care what you say about, you know, the double champ status and all of that stuff. I'm sure if Khabib really, really wants to try for it, he'll go after Usman eventually. I think that's an interesting fight. Now that I say that, I'd be interested to see that. If that heavyweight fight that's on here, I was thinking winner faces Walt Harris, maybe? I saw somebody say that, and I thought, you know, that's an interesting idea. Winner of the heavyweight bout between, I'll get it by the end of the night. Saturday. Shamil Abdurakhimov. Shamil Abdurakhimov. I actually did watch some film on him. He's kind of like bruising fighter, like I said Poirier is, but he's just a little bit sloppy in my opinion. That's why I'm going to pick Curtis Blaydes for that fight. The Davy Ramos fight now. He's a submission wrestling champion, which is, you know, adds another element to it. But like I said, with Islam, he is imposing. If anything, you know, he's imposing and he knows what he's doing with his hands and with his body at all times in a fight. It's just that awareness that these Dagestani guys have in a fight. It's like just so much like it seems like they can see 360 around them, and like I really don't know. It's incredible to watch these guys fight, and I'm excited to see this card. Shout out hometown guy Zach Cummings. He's going to be fighting early on, and he'll be fighting against the crowd as well, essentially. I mean, not fighting against the crowd, I mean, he's there to put on a show for you guys. He's there to give you the best that he can give. And hopefully, he can bring one home for my home team here in Missouri.